in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." For just a few minutes this morning, I want us to look at the excuses of Moses. Before we get into the lesson, I want to again welcome everyone. It's a beautiful day to be here, beautiful day to lift our hearts up and serve our Heavenly Father for all that He has done for us. When we go through this, we're going to be looking in Exodus chapter 3, 11 through 14, and then Exodus chapter 4. I would invite you to open your Bibles there and follow along with me. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 again. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent you.'" Then chapter 4 and verse 1, "Then Moses answered and said, 'But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you.' So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' He reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, 'Now put your hand in your bosom.' And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his land was leprous like snow. And he said, 'Put your hand in your bosom again.' So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, they may believe the message of the later sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. And the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land." Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." But he said, "O Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God." Here we have in this section several excuses that Moses makes. And we look up to Moses. He was a great man. The Israelites looked up to him, but he was just a man. He lived in the flesh, and we can see in him, we can see ourselves in some of the things that we say and excuses that we make. It's interesting just looking down through here in chapter 4 and in verse 1, but suppose they will not believe me, or suppose they say this, suppose they say that you've not appeared to me. It's suppose, suppose, suppose. It's like he's coming up with all kinds of excuses before God gets down to what he wants him to do. He's human. When he says, what's that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. He cast it to the ground. It became a serpent. And what did Moses do? He fled. I would have fled too. I can relate to that. And then when God tells him to pick it up by the tail, you know, that's the most dangerous way to pick up a snake. I would still be running. I wouldn't have heard God say to pick it up. But he tells him to pick it up by the tail. And God keeps telling him everything that he is going to do, every sign. And Moses kept making excuses. Do we ever do that? Do we ever make excuses why we can't do what God wants us to do? Well, how does God feel about that? We see, and one thing to notice in verse 14, so two things. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well, and look, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And so God is here kind of pitting brother against brother. You know, when Aaron comes out, he's going to be glad. You're just a complainer. You're full of excuses. And how does God feel about that? Look at verse 14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. We don't talk about the anger of the Lord enough. And I was thinking as I was going through this, I ought to do a lesson on that sometime. But when you start and look at the anger of the Lord, you hear people talk about the love of God all the time. God, it just oozes out of their speech how much God loves us. When I looked up this phrase, the anger of the Lord, there are so many verses, I just limited to what I could put on this one slide. Exodus 4:14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Numbers 11:10, the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Numbers 12:9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, kindled against Israel. The fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel, yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel, the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee. Over and over and over and over throughout the Old Testament, we see the anger of God. And when people try his patience, and he is angered. And we see sometimes when God would just destroy people because he had had enough of them rebelling against them. Joshua 7:1, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. The anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly. Friends, we don't want to arouse the anger of the Lord. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, God came to Moses clear and distinct. But then when God tells Moses what he wants him to do, Moses starts making excuses. And again, we do that also. Sometimes God's greatest difficulty with his servants is to get them, to get us, to believe that he is able to work in us. Just a couple weeks ago, I did a lesson on the ability of God, that he is able to work in them both to will and to do his good pleasure. We looked at over a dozen things that God is able to do in us and through us and for us. When God tells us to do something, we shouldn't make excuses. We should do it. I want us to notice with this task, this is a lesson I did several years ago, Proverbs 22:13. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. That was an old, I did a PowerPoint of an old bed sheet. And that's an old sermon. Just from the beginning of time, people have been making excuses. And this man in Proverbs 22:13, I can't go outside and do this. There's a lion waiting for me out there. If I go out there, he's going to eat me up. Isn't that so silly? And you compare that attitude with David in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you, take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So you contrast these two attitudes. This one man says, I can't go out there and do this. There's a lion waiting for me out there. He's going to kill me. And David, when he goes up against Goliath, he's basically laughing at him. You're coming to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin? I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. You know what I'm going to do? You know what God's going to do through me? I'm going to cut off your head, and I'm going to give your carcass to the birds and the wild beasts, and they're going to eat you alive. Did David make excuses? He didn't make excuses. Well, let's look at some of the excuses that Moses offered for not obeying God and see if we happen to make any of these same excuses. In chapter 3 and verse 11, we see he offers his own personal unworthiness. God, I'm just not worthy to do this. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go up to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know, it's just me, God. It's just Moses. You know, I've been a shepherd out in the wilderness. Who am I to go up against Pharaoh? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to him? Moses just keeps coming up like, I'm unworthy. I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what you want me to do. It's interesting, though, to see a change in Moses from 40 years earlier, because now God is ready for Moses to deliver his people out of bondage in Egypt. And didn't that bother Moses 40 years ago when he was in Egypt, that his people were in bondage? And you go back to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 12. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. See, Moses didn't like his people being oppressed, and he tried to take things into his own hands. He didn't go to God about this matter, and he killed an Egyptian. And this person says in verse 14, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Are you going to just kill all of us? And Moses, he fled. He left Egypt, and you can just imagine that he has been carrying this guilt, this burden with him all of these years. Now God appears to him 40 years later And he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And what does Moses do? He just starts making excuse after excuse after excuse. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses, the Lord didn't appear unto you. Why do you want us to do this? And Moses, in verse 10 of Exodus 4, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Again, excuse after excuse after excuse. And these excuses aren't new. They aren't anything unique to Moses. They are common to all of us. We make excuses. Moses wasn't the only one that used this excuse. Jeremiah 1:6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Don't say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So here's two excuses together with Jeremiah. We'll say, I can't speak. I don't know what to say. And that's not true. People, they want to get out of doing what God says. And here Jeremiah says, I'm a youth. We use age as an excuse. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too busy. I'm in the prime of my life. I've got all this stuff going on. I'll have time later. God wants us to do His work where we are right now, whatever age we are. It's going to be different what we are able to do, but we cannot make excuses for not doing God's work. And there are so many distractions that have come around in the last year. I was talking to somebody again yesterday, and they were just talking about the lockdown the last year and people staying at home and not getting out. And again, what's the definition of the church? To come out of your house to some public place for an assembly. And people have redefined, they've come up with, well, this is how I think God wants me to worship Him, and He'll accept this, and I can do this, and I can be here, and I can be there, and I can be over there. And you can't read that in God's Word. And you can believe it if you want to, but this person that tells you that, he's not going to be the judge. Christ and His Word is going to be our judge. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with the things such as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. So when God wants us to go and talk to people, when God wanted Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh, we should talk with boldness to people. Not that we are haughty or arrogant, but we should not have a cowardly attitude. We should not feel inadequate. It's not our message that we are delivering. It's God's message. It's a message that can save somebody out of sin. And what they do with it is up to them. Certainly I will be with you. Just as if God was saying to him, you say, Moses, you say, who am I? Moses, it's not who you are, it's who I am. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about God. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 28:18 and 19? All power is given unto me. Go. We're busy arguing with Christ. He's given us, Christ has all power. We should have all boldness saying what He wants us to say. So Moses, he opens his mouth and he says, well, what shall I say to them? And God filled it with, I am that I am. And there is a secret of a successful life when we look at this little transaction that's taken place. We need to understand He has sent me. God sent Moses. God sends us. His word is in me. His presence is with me. He is almighty. And when Moses understood this, Moses was able to go to Pharaoh in Egypt and deliver God's people. When we understand this, we are able to start doing things for God. God has sent me. He has sent me. His word is in me. Now, we might be scared if we don't have God's word in us. But again, that's on us. That's on us. I think everyone, when they were baptized, had a Bible available to them. And it's just on us to spend time in it and learn it. His presence is with me. He is almighty. Again, we need to have the confidence of David. You're coming to me with a spear and a javelin. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And again, not to be arrogant when we are talking to people. We come to them in love. But Moses is making excuses, and we're trying to understand his excuses. So he uses his own personal unworthiness. He uses the disbelief of the people. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice." Chapter 4 and verse 1. He seems to have forgotten that God has taken into account all the natural reluctance and hardness of the human heart. When Moses says, "They aren't going to believe me," God didn't have to stop and say, wonder what I can do about that. He had three signs ready for Moses already. And one of the things about Moses and with us too, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. And again, not some miraculous, better felt than told experience. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to be filled with His Word. And you know why? When we go into darkness out in the world, when we go out into the world, the world doesn't need me. The world doesn't need me at all. It needs this message that is in me. And if we go out into the world and we don't have this message in us, we are darkness going into darkness. We need to be light going into darkness. And then we just let our light shine. We don't blast people with our light. We let our light so shine that they may see our good works. We are light. We are salt. So how did the Lord meet the second excuse of Moses? Again, God gives him a further manifestation of His own fullness. Three signs: the rod, the hand, the water. The rod was turned into a serpent. The leprous hand was healed. Water turned into blood. This has surely got to be enough evidence for Moses that he's ready to go now, right? No, it's not. He makes another excuse. He talks about the weakness of his body. "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." The weakness of his body. A lot of people feel inadequate. They'll talk about, "Oh, this person is such a good speaker." Well, what does that mean? That means probably they're tickling people's ears. It's not the eloquency of how someone presents something. It's the message. We have become so sidetracked by Hollywood and professional this and professional that and professional speakers. Is that the type of people that God used to spread His message in the first century? They were plain ordinary men, fishermen, a tax collector, just different trades, common, ordinary man. And why is that? an ordinary man can relate to an ordinary man. And I was had a conversation with somebody recently and asked him if he knew this person, and he did. And I said, yeah, he was so eloquent, and it just sounded like poetry when he spoke. And I said, I enjoyed hearing him, but after that preacher left and went to another place, someone said nobody understood him. You know, he was speaking up here. He sounded so nice. He sounded so nice. But you got to make it plain and simple so people cannot misunderstand it. He says, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. But the power of God is something different than eloquent speech. Note how God answered this objection. Who made man's mouth? Have not I the Lord? And God knows everything about our body. God knew all of his physical infirmity, and God was willing to do whatever he needed to help Moses. But it's not our weak body. It's not our weak body that hinders us. It's our weak faith that hinders us in serving God. It's not our weak body, it's our weak faith. The last excuse he uses is the unwillingness of his mind. He said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand, thou wouldst send. Verse 13, this is as much as to say as, send anyone else, only don't ask me to do the speaking. Again, this shows where he's timid. He's basically refusing everything that God has given him. And you can see why God's anger is kindled. And he said, here is Aaron, thy brother. I know that he can speak well. He shall be thy spokesman. It's like Moses just kept coming up with excuse after excuse. And we will look for the smallest things to get out of doing God's will. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written? For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You look at this list, and it's a pretty impressive list. None of these things are going to be able to separate us from the love of God. But you know what? We will sell out our soul so many times for something so small, so cheap, something less a few minutes or a few hours. And these are just excuses that Moses is giving to God. But all of these excuses that Moses is giving to God does not make God change his plan. It does not make God change his purpose. God, when Moses says, you know, send somebody else, it's like God isn't going to argue with him here. Here's Moses, or here's Aaron. It's like, just go do it. Just go do it. We make so many excuses. Friends, do we make any excuses in the kingdom today? Do we say that we aren't prepared enough? We aren't ready? Do we point over here? Do we point over there? Do we say, who's going to listen to me? And when you think about Moses going and delivering God's people, did Moses really deliver God's people? Was Moses the one that did that? He was the instrument. God delivered his people. And you see, friends, We've got to understand that with us. We are the instruments. Again, God is going to do something through us. Moses was the agency that God used to deliver his people. We are the agency that God is going to use to do what he wants to accomplish here. You stop and think about this. God, he wanted to deliver his people. He said he would deliver them out of bondage. God could have just miraculously transported all those Egyptians up, moved them over, and dropped them down into the land of Canaan. He could have done that. He was God. He didn't do that. He wants us to do what he tells us to do. God works on his people, through his people, in his people. He still does that today. The question is, are we going to do God, or are we going to kindle his anger and make excuses for not obeying God and doing what he wants us to do? Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the heavenly invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.